Hey, this is Luke. Welcome to Lure It Up Podcast. Powered by Bazodi Magazine. We'll be interviewing local creatives who were in and around the clock for the Popover season and beyond. Join us on this journey as we go behind the scenes of what makes Popover, Popover. Welcome to the Lure It Up Podcast, powered by Bazodi Magazine, recorded and produced by Robbie at Nameless Productions. On episode 9, we have a catch-up with Megan and a recap on the Popover season, the Barbados Food and Rum Festival, and beyond.
It's off those.
Oh like, my God, yeah. Just asking what
we're saying. Okay, right, we're going on.
Yes. Oh, it's like, starting Bazodi lately.
I can't wait and say, oh, well, tonight we're here with Megan.
No, just say, look, this is a recap. We've been talking to so much people.
Yeah.
But let's break it down between us.
Right, let's. Yay.
You galore.
I gotta say.
Yeah.
Okay, so welcome to.
Let me start because you're the whole mess. Give me the thing.
That's right. Good.
No, you can stop him, but I won't hear what he's saying. Hello? You hear me?
We hope you enjoy.
Welcome to Lure's Up Podcast with Bazodi Magazine.
Okay, Luke. So far we've been chopping it up with singers, musicians, mixologists, people from the museum, but
right, chefs, everybody,
but we ain't gonna chop it up with each other.
Yeah.
And I think that we can say both of us are cultural practitioners in some way.
Absolutely.
And we have stuff to talk about. We had experiences that we had so far over the past few months. So this is just gonna be like a little recap.
Slate recap, sleep touch back, you know?
Yeah, and just a recap, our introduction to both ourselves and who we are and what we are looking to give back to people.
Yeah, what we're looking to say, what we're looking to achieve.
Like, yes.
Give a better idea of the podcast and the role and what it is that we want to do.
Yes, yes. So for me, Bazodi, how I see the Bazodi, the word Bazodi is a little different for me because we used to dance to this song in the hotel by Alison. I ain't got me so.
Yeah, of course.
You know?
Yeah.
And when I see that name, it always brings me back to when I used to do that dance in the hotel. So that is my way of seeing Bazodi, like a cultural, festive vibe. I say, find myself in a juve. You know?
Yeah.
And that's how I feel about it. And it always brings me back to my childhood and calypso music and just loving soca.
Yeah.
Also, when I see Bazodi, I think about what events I can go to.
Yeah.
And I can't find what's the date. I don't know when it's coming. So let me look at Bazodi.
Yeah.
Another thing for Bazodi is how many days left to Popover?
You get it, boy. You get it.
And the last thing about Bazodi is I really want to figure out when it was that the first statue was built in Bridgetown. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know. We talk about his music, but I get you. You know that type of heritage and culture. Yeah,
heritage. And I just love it. I think that that's just part of me. And I feel so connected to anything that is Barbadian, that is African, that is part of the diaspora. And so this is why I love Bazodi.
I like that. That's really what. Well, when we started, that's what we aimed to achieve.
Because,
of course, we first started with Popover.
Mm-hmm.
I remember it was
Band launches,
all that type of stuff. Yeah, that's right.
I know, it's model too. So I get you.
Exactly. But that was the focus originally because it was a spinoff of another magazine I used to do called Muse Caribbean.
Yeah.
So it was just, we wanted to focus on Popover, but it didn't feel like the Muse had a space for that.
Mm-hmm.
So then we started doing Popover coverage and it's like, let's flesh this out fully into a magazine.
Mm-hmm. And you also had a physical magazine.
Right, we used to have a physical magazine.
So you also got creative with the photography and the makeup and hair and the outfits.
Yeah, that was a whole models and locations, working with the bands, all that type of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that was really it. And then
I feel like I need a little background, though, because not everybody your age are in their 20s or 30s are interested in sharing is interested in sharing Barbadian culture. Mm-hmm. It might not seem, you know, like fun or cool, but where is their background coming from that you're so interested in sharing that through us? A cool way, actually, in social media.
Because I found that when we started, there were no Kwapoha magazines. There was like no one repository for Kwapoha information. Like, you would have Kaduma.com, but Kaduma.com was first.
Mm-hmm.
And then later on, there was
Boom
too.
Tribe.
The Boom Tribe, exactly. Yet. So, mm-hmm. but they, like, none of it was consistent, or there was not one single place I could go to online and say, okay, I could find out this book, Kwapoha, what it is, what's the events, what's going on, all that type of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So we wanted to create that. And additionally to that, there was no one place for Barbadian culture. The same thing you're talking about,
mm-hmm.
feeling connected to your culture, especially as a young millennial,
mm-hmm.
or Gen Z. There was no, like, you was finding stuff scattered across the net, like Bajan phrases or certain words or mm-hmm. bits of history, but there was no one singular place I could go to and say, okay, this has a lot of Barbadian stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So we wanted to create a space like that too as well.
And you also study history.
Right, I study history too as well. So
you could have just said all that.
But I want to flesh it out more so people mm-hmm. can understand, as you mentioned, say more about what is that, what's going on.
It's true, it's true. So you study history at what level, like CSC?
CSC, university, all that.
What type of history? Caribbean history?
Yeah, it was, well, they gave us a broad history. So it was mm-hmm. Caribbean, it was world history. So it would be like British,
mm-hmm.
South Africa, all types of stuff like that.
Well, I studied Caribbean history. Well, my major at school was psychology. Mm-hmm. So you needed to do history subjects as well as management and anything counseling. So mm-hmm. for me, history at on the tertiary level, which is at UE, versus history at primary school or secondary school is completely different.
Vastly different.
Different, and it feels like I know how to retell my story or figure out who we really are. And I remember my history teacher, Alana, I can't remember her last name, but she told a completely different story about the Caribbean, about the Arawaks and the Caribs, and she showed us pictures and made us elevated as a race. Mm-hmm. And I think that in the modern sense, Basadi does that. Mm-hmm. It shows Evanston was not always Evanston.
Right,
this is
exactly.
what the airport what used to look like. Like, yeah. You know, like, we get a visual representative, visual look at what it used to be instead mm-hmm. of, like, it be pretending or
right,
trying
exactly.
to figure out what it is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I think that if we really know our true history, you know ourselves.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's a really, I think history as a retrospective is important to be mm-hmm. able to understand yourself, because
mm-hmm.
obviously we didn't drop out the sky in 1966. We didn't materialize, you know.
Yeah.
There must be something to figure out. Okay, who am I?
Yeah.
Where do I come from? What do I talk about?
Mm-hmm.
What are we saying? You know, where do we do these things? Why are these our customs? Why is this our music?
Mm.
All that type of stuff. And then also to find history is a good grounding. Otherwise as a people, we will get lost. So it's important stuff like that, because yeah. then if you don't know, like, your history and where you come from, you don't know where you're going, because
mm-hmm.
everything would just be all a blur. It would be shaky.
Yeah, I totally agree. And, you know, we've been doing the Food and Rum artists for a little bit, so then we can really understand that our history comes from our norms and cultures, like mm-hmm. food and mm-hmm. how we eat and how we dress and
right.
the music we listen to.
Yeah.
And for instance, the way how we dance and the way how we move, we therefore understand who we are. So
exactly.
I love that.
Exactly. I think we had the same history actually, and if I
can
remember correctly.
Okay.
She's Alana Johnson.
Yes, Alana Johnson.
She's just like Mia, exactly.
And she's wearing this white thing.
White
and
stuff,
got
yeah.
hair.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Alana,
yeah.
She don't play though.
Yeah, she don't. I was actually looking back for her notes, because this is a whole side topic.
Her notes are good. Vast.
They were vast. They were good. So I was like, how do I get back this
and
stuff that
speaks,
I put in a box and put
yeah,
away?
Yeah, but she's just, it all come from her
right,
head.
Right, she's good. She's
yeah.
very intelligent. I can't find that in my old books. But she had a,
mm-hmm.
she told us about a different perspective on Grantley Adams. The same thing you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So what we would have learned in primary school when we got to university, they were like, throw it out. Like, mm-hmm. all that's incorrect.
Yeah.
So like, what she taught us about Grantley Adams was completely different to what we had learned before. So mm-hmm. she gave a real picture, because it was like, oh, Granny Adams, National Hero, blah, blah, blah. And she was like, oh, this guy was actually deeply anti-Black. He was, you know, like, he led to a lot of stuff. Like, he was deeply, deeply problematic. As so to have him elevate as a national hero brings a lot of questions into the Barbadian identity.
She also brings it forefront to me that we have Bussa as a statue, but she really explained that Bussa is just a figment of our imagination. Right. It might not have been a real person.
That's a big argument. Yeah.
It might not have been a real person. It might not. Because back then, like, how we know he named Bussa?
Exactly.
How we know what he looked like? Everybody looked the same according to the colonizer back then. So when we have this person that we use as a national hero, it could be something saying that this person could be within all of us.
Right. Because that's what it's saying, that he's like, even as the leader of the Bussa Rebellion, he wasn't. So he would have been mentioned in the court pages afterwards, like twice by two people, but not as a figurehead.
Right.
So then it's like, how did this whole narrative come about that he's this person? So he really is kind of mythological in a sense, even though you see him in the record, like from this plantation, from Bailey's.
We see him on the roundabout.
But then, exactly. That's actually, you know, that's just emancipation statue. You know, that's not supposed to be him.
Oh, really?
Right, yeah. I know, right? Yeah, that's
you're
right.
Serious? It's crazy, yeah. It's just so that's not Bussa?
No, it's not Bussa. It's just supposed to represent emancipation.
No but, way. But you see, crazy. You see, we need to know these things.
Yeah, and so there's a lot of stories that need to be done.
So what we say, we had the Bussa roundabout?
Who are you asking? But a lot of people see it as Bussa. It just became known as that.
Wow. See what we need, Bussa, D?
Right.
Because I swear that's Bussa.
Yeah, a lot of people. I still call it Bussa roundabout. Obviously, so all the emancipation statue. But that's Bussa, you know?
Wow.
So it seems to be like a representation of him. Right. His lightness, that type of stuff.
Right. Okay. Let's take it all the way back to modern things, though. So for me, like, how has Crop Over been for you?
Crop Over was, well, it was excellent, you know? So because me personally.
The official Crop Over ambassador.
For me personally, it was, I got to become an ambassador. So it was very fun. Mm-hmm. And then to watch NCF partner with BTMI and do the work. And then we did stuff with influencers and go to all the different events and hop around while still trying to remain as balanced as possible.
It was good for me too. As a dancer, you know, we didn't get the opportunity to perform as much as we do, and they didn't have the competitions like they did. But just as a patron, I really just enjoy seeing events pop up. Or like, people was a little iffy at first, but then you could see this and this and this and this all start happening, and people got more comfortable. And again, seeing just people loving on each other and dancing and enjoying the festival. And like you said, BTMI and NCF collaborating was very fresh and new, and the quality of events changed.
Yeah.
So it's a little different. So I really appreciated that. I know that we are, I'm not sure when you're going to hear this podcast, but we are moving into November and there are, again, a bunch of events. And that's also great to see.
Yeah, it's good to see entertainment come back in a big way.
Yeah.
What is that you look forward to? Well, not just for November, but for Crop Over in the future, especially as it relates to you being a dancer.
You know what? For me, it's not really Crop Over. I love that the BTMI and NCF are collaborating. But if it's a way that artists can show their art all year round, and also for Crop Over, have a space where, and actually Mark Ford, we spoke about this in the podcast before. He said that usually what they're looking for artists to do is do the same thing every year. So you're going to see the steel pan, the soap walkers in Manasali. Like, this is a staple, but we don't really get to create what we want and show who we are and be authentic enough. So as performers, hopefully next year we get the opportunity to showcase our talents and produce more shows that we would want people to see, instead of what we usually do every year.
Actually, that's a brilliant perspective, because they never thought about it like that. Because I just thought, you know, steel band, steel walker, dancers, come perform. No. You know, it's not that.
Like, for instance, there's the folk concert. Yeah, there's the folk concert. And we know how, you know, we know the probably 1966, you know, the riot, something like that. You're going to retell that story. But there are so many different stories to tell as artists, as Bajans, as people from the diaspora. So just to tell new stories, tell something fresh. Like, trust me, people are seeing the same thing. Right. They're getting tired now, and they know that we have access to social media. I don't even have to leave my house. I can just watch it on
My phone. Phone or YouTube or something.
So if we have that access to like just fresh new stuff and just be as creative as possible and to more collaborate with each other, that'd be great to see. So
I actually like that point about the full concert because they swipe for the first time, just as so you say, on YouTube on my phone this year.
You watch it every first time. I've been doing it for like 10 years.
Exactly. That's what I say. You say the same thing. So then, like, as you talk about what you learn at university in terms of the Amerindians and like the colonization and coming through and then slavery, emancipation, it's like there are the stories that need to be told. I think we talked about this before. Mirror, mirror, you remember that?
I know Mirror, mirror.
That was really good. And I would like to see that again. So if there were more productions like that, that told the story.
I think that story was told already as well.
Right. Okay. Anyone know that? But but like similar ones like that, as creative as that, as you know, that you could be invested in as a Barbadian, see your culture reflected,
and just do authenticity of. Of a character. It doesn't even have to be a full story. Like you see Clement Payne or not even Clement Payne. It could be like what you said, Bussa. Like if he's not a real person, we could get creative and give him a full story. You know,
story,
who was he before he was enslaved? You know, like if you watch Woman King recently, that story was told, yes, it was told with, like, in slavery times, but there were still kings and queens. And, just retelling, like, a personal story that you feel attached to. Especially for the young people that are coming up now. They're not really seeing stories about us.
No, we don't, exactly.
Yeah.
So that's actually a very good point.
What are you looking forward to next year?
That's actually, I guess, for things to become more fleshed out, like same NCF and BTMI relationship, but more fleshing in terms of like who we are as a people, like what we're trying to say with Kwapuofa, and becoming like more involved in the festival rather than just saying it's a bunch of events and then you got to jump up by the end of it. It's like really, really securing what it is, as in, this is a festival that has existed for centuries. Like, what are we saying with this? Where are we moving forward? Like, how is it more than just events? Like, how do we have cultural stuff? How do we basically big up the cultural stuff? How do we make sure that this is celebrated within the festival? How do we also, Kaduma, and let's keep saying that Kaduma is shrinking. So how do we make sure that it is highlighted at the end of the festival? How do we make sure that more people buy into it, especially more Barbadians? How do we get more people involved? Like,
what processes? You know, when you say that, I went back to the interview we did a few nights ago with St. Andrew Carnival, and I was thinking about the capitalization of Kwapuofa and how it's becoming like more of an international festival, which is great, but then it's becoming a little watered down because we want to make it more palatable to the international
audience,
you know. But outside of that, St. Andrew Carnival made it feel like, what about community stuff? Like, we spend so much time on the international that we forget to build back the community.
That's true.
St. Andrew Carnival, like, when they were talking about the different, the each section was a different place in St. Andrew, and like giving the scenery, and it just felt like home. They call it like the sweetest jump up, the sweetest escape, you know? And I think that when you create a level of comfort and home amongst your community, then when people come here, them go off the hand.
Exactly. Them go off the into it. Not that you've created it.
Yeah, them around them. You know, more of a microscopic than a macroscopic view of Kwapuofa.
So, I like that concept. That's actually really good. Like that, if we turn back into ourselves and look at ourselves and say, Are we speaking to the people? Are we involved with them? Are they feeling involved? Do they feel seen? Do they feel heard? That type of stuff.
And maybe that's why people were, the whole route of Kaduma was so controversial, because that was done in a way that is more comfortable for, you know, the international crowd to take in. But people love the shops and the houses, and the snow clothes and
meandering through the communities.
Like, people love that, and that's part of Barbadian culture that is so significant to Kaduma Day. So maybe, you know, I'm not sure if that will ever go back there, but just the level of community I would love for people to always have.
Mm.
So,
yeah. I think that's a good point. I like both routes, mm-hmm. just to be clear. Exactly. I like the highway too. It was good. It was free. It was a lot wider open. But I do get the argument for the communities and the way that it would wind through down Station Hill and down Mike Hall and the road. So, and you know, you could stop at somebody's house. Somebody say the road side of Aki's, it's about the hill. Somebody don't Black Rock got this. You might be some food.
I've jumped a Trinidad Carnival. You don't get that.
No, you don't. You absolutely don't.
You don't get that. So then, you know, people will people that are into carnivals and festivals would definitely compare, you know, why it's different than the next thing. I would definitely say that that aspect is different than the other carnivals. So, yeah.
I did. And even like the ending on Spring Garden next to the sea and all that type of stuff, that was cool nice. So that was, So as you say, you don't get, you definitely get an Trinidad Carnival without just getting hot sun and rhythm, and that's about it. So
hot sun and rhythm, right, TC? What is your favorite interview so far that you did?
That's a good question. I would say Laura, because she was so prepared and good.
Laura
from Jump Promotions for Powder. So she was, that was really good. I don't really know if I have a favorite, you know, because all were so dynamic, all change so much all the time. I did also like the museum, like bring them back, and
I was so jealous. I hear that. Like, tell me what that really quick.
Like, that was there was the Duppy tour we talked about, and then we went on to other stuff that the museum does and the galleries and the way that they've evolved and stuff that they're looking forward to. Yeah, and their past as the garrison and being part of the garrison area and the museum used to be a prison, all that type of stuff. Yeah.
You see?
Yeah, exactly. It was good.
I like that.
It was really good.
I actually like St. Andrew Carnival.
Right, that was really good.
I guess because that was the more recent one I did.
That you could remember.
I like the Blur guys.
Michael Ray.
I like, you know, that they are young and fresh and they want to bring their own perspective on being a promoter and their own energy and vibe on it. So I like them. And I like Shane Jones, his perspective on being a songwriter.
I love that, actually. Like, it gave you a whole new perspective. I was like, I never thought about this.
Yeah, so just songwriter and just being a manager and a producer behind artists. I had like Shane Jones as well. So, yeah, what are you looking forward to for, like people that come on next? Like, who do you want to talk to?
That's a really good question. I guess more cultural practitioners and more musicians, like more artists, to get their look at their perspectives, because I find that they are not heard. I realize that with the chefs and the mixologists, I realize that they have perspectives that we didn't even consider. Same with Shane Jones.
Yes.
We have perspectives we didn't consider at all. And it's like, this is new and this is fresh, and being able to amplify those voices.
And you know, the arc thing about this entire podcast is all about storytelling.
Right.
I will always go back to that, because we just had Shane on and you guys will hear him. Well, you probably did hear him already. But he had a story that was complex in the sense that he said he got hurt, he pivoted, he was a cultural practitioner as a stilt walker and moved into being a mixologist. And it's all about storytelling. And when we've, again, go back, when you know your story about yourself, then it's so easy to show who you are in your creative aspects. And I love the people that come and talk about that.
Like where you came from, where you are now, where you're going.
Yeah, how you can inspire other creatives and other artists to be the best that they could be. So, yeah.
Yeah. You know, actually, who I really like, too, same as you said, because it's recent for me, too, Chef Hassan Bromley. He was really good.
Tell
really
me about
good.
That.
Because he's like, I went to interview him because I know his wife. So I knew that he had just come into the festival. He had come from overseas. So I'm like, okay, where did they choose him? What's his story? And all that, like, what's going on here? And it was really good. He's very nomadic. I think he was born in the U.S.
Okay.
And moved to the U.K. And he was between the U.K. and Australia.
Oh, wow.
Then he met a Barbadian. So they came back. They got married.
A Barbadian love story.
I know, right?
I love. Okay.
So, and he was really good, because then I actually stumbled across it by accident, because I just wanted to interview him for his story, but that his mother was a vegetarian, so his dishes are all very vegetarian,
vegan
inspired.
Own story.
Exactly. It was so good. And then how he got involved in Barbadian culture and the food that he had.
And it's probably a mixture of Barbadian and
wherever he's from. Is that he was saying that he's going to do one, two. Again, I don't know when it's going to come out, but he's going to do one, two, that a dish at Food Aram that highlights his Jewish background.
Oh, Jewish.
Right, yeah.
Okay.
So it was real. I was like, this is really unique. He wanted to do one that speaks to Barbadian Christmas
mm-hmm.
and one that speaks to his Jewish background.
Mm-hmm. One word that I like too was mm-hmm. April and mm-hmm. from the BTMA.
Mm-hmm.
And just having an understanding of how we want to be seen as larger than life
mm-hmm.
as a country. Barbados, you know, super small, 166 square miles. And we have the ability to know that we have social media to market ourselves in a way that can overpower a continent just by the Beijing soul.
Yep, that's true.
Yeah, and when we understand the accessibility of social media and knowing ourselves, we could be a force, like Brianna,
be a force to be reckoned with
and once we know ourselves, then we can market ourselves like anyway. And people will always come and people will love it. Beijing everywhere.
Everywhere. The Barbadian story is so unique, you know. Mm-hmm. It's really something different that you don't get anywhere else.
You will see it definitely on Bazaar DP.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that's also what I want to highlight too, because again, for younger millennials and Gen Z, it's like
mm-hmm.
we're so inundated with American culture, with everybody else's culture, Jamaican culture and music,
mm-hmm.
is that it's hard to hear that Barbadian voice. It's like, you know, at night you would hear the whistling frogs and crickets, but you tune it out. So it's like, because it's so there for you, you tune it out. What you don't hear is that you have to start unconsciously remember that. And if
you live in a concrete jungle, you would never hear that.
You would never hear that, exactly.
Yeah, I didn't remember that.
Right, yeah. So it's like, we want to really like point out, like, you can hear that cricket type of thing. Like, so you constantly are remembering your culture and what it is, your people, your music, your food, your stories.
Mm.
So you never lose sight of that and think, oh, my culture's boring. I wish I was American. I wish I was Nigerian. I wish I was Jamaican.
Mm-hmm.
People seem to have more fun. It seems to be cooler, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
So we have our own stuff that's going on. We have our own stuff that's going for us. And it's like, you don't want to compete with anybody else or be seen to be competing with anybody mm-hmm. else because the story is unique. It's its own lane
mm-hmm.
type of thing.
This was good.
Yeah.
This was good. And listen, yo, we don't have any notes. We're just talking, vibing. So yeah, this is good.
Yeah,
I wish you best. Like, I love this, and I Basidi is gonna go like so far, and
I think people want to know about you.
Me?
Yes, you, Megan.
But we talked about me already.
No, exactly. We want to know about your history, like where you come from, how you got involved in the podcast.
All right, I can tell you real quick.
Yeah.
I can tell you real quick. Okay.
Your story as a dancer.
So okay, sure, cool. So I'm a dancer.
Mm-hmm.
I started dancing at 3 years old with Calvin Carvalho at my nursery school. And I went to school at Wesley Hall. From Wesley Hall, it's like a community, it's in town. So we went to the community group and I danced in Dance in Africa for the majority of my time. Absolutely love dancing in Dance in Africa because we get so much opportunities to do dance at a lot of cultural events. So all of my history, all of what I know, everybody that comes in here and knows me is because of Dance in Dance in Africa. So there's that. And I danced in Dance in Africa for 20 years plus. And between that, I'm also a musician. My dad was a musician. And so I played about 4 instruments, clarinet, the flute, the trumpet, the drums. But my main instrument was the clarinet. Went to school at Foundation, also a very musical school, did CSC music all that time. I'm dancing. So dancing, music, and then I had like a little awkward stage. I wouldn't say awkward, but you know when you hit the puberty, teenage stage, because I've been performing so much, it was easy for me to branch into like modeling.
Mm-hmm.
So before modeling, I got into the hometown pageant, which was my first pageant, and I became Miss Hotel. I won the pageant, my first pageant.
Yeah, yeah.
And again, Hotong is a very cultural pageant. Like, we had to learn Barbadian history, know about, you know, Hotong was the first settlement in Barbados. Mm. So I had to know, I know all that history from the top of my head. Mm. I could tell you it, no. So there's that. And then I went on to do pageants representing Barbados in St. Kitts, Antigua, Bahamas, JC. So again, like, I knew my culture so much because a pageant girl, you got, you're doing regional pageants, you gotta be like on the radio talking about pageants and Barbados. So I did that. I did about 4 pageants. And my last pageant was Miss Universe 2018, came second. Absolutely love the pageant. And that's where my speaking came into because I had a lot of media training with Gina Marshall. Mm. So we trained for about 6 months and just figuring out your personal story. She always tells us, you got soundbite, say your story in 60 seconds, 30 seconds, 15 seconds, at least 5 seconds. So yeah, my background is of media training is all through pageantry, dancer, singer, not singer, oh my God, musician. And then I branched out and created my own brand called Vi25 where I now teach dance classes every single day. Yo, it is, what time is it now? Like, it's 10:38. I teach 2 classes before I come here at 8 o'clock. I started my day at 5 o'clock in the morning. And yeah, I teach class every day, private classes, group classes, stretch classes, one-on-one classes. I teach kids all the way from 3 years old to adults all the way to 60 years old. I work at the Heart and Stroke Foundation with stroke patients. So I teach patients in the chairs, patients that could walk but still want to dance. I do a lot of mentorship and what you call workshopping through movement with schools. So I do a lot of that as well. And, oh, I study psychology at UE. So there's that. So I find a way to mix my psychology background with dance and figure out how to merge it too. So definitely when I teach kids, I allow them to use their mind to understand their form of creativity. So for instance, there's color therapy. So each color has a feeling. So red might feel angry, yellow might feel cool, blue might feel calm, green might feel rich. So when you figure out your feelings, then you can perform that. So there's things that I do like that as well. Listen, I just do so much things and I like every single one. Oh, and I work at IQ Opticians. Yeah. So I'm an optical dispenser as well. And that's all about fashion and style. So I do that. It's also my full-time job. So yeah, that's a lot. And I love every single one. And like Shane said, like, you should never limit yourself in anything you do. And there's always more. I mean, like, you don't want to push yourself too much. But when you can use your right side and the left side of your brain at different times, you can understand that there's so much to the human brain and what we can do. So, yeah. That's me.
That is, yeah, quite a story. Yeah. Really, really, the musical instruments and everything.
That's me.
Take my hat off to
and
you.
And there's so much more that I want to do. Mm-hmm. And just being in a space around creatives makes me feel like I'm at home. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, it seems like I do a lot. Well, I do a lot, mm-hmm. but I'm not in all these spaces. I'm mm-hmm. not around a lot of things because I really love to be around, like, really creative people. So yeah, that's how I create my own. But I think this is enough.
Definitely. That's quite a story and a half. Yeah. Really and truly. So yeah. You know, so where do you want to go from here then? You're a teacher already, you mm-hmm. know, at such a young age too as well.
I would like impressive. To build my own school, my mm-hmm. dance school. And I love the gym as well. So I want the school to be surrounded around, you know, culture, African culture, Afro beats, but as well understanding body fitness, body conditioning, just knowing the basics of the body and the movement. So as I tell you, I teach from kids from 3 to stroke patients all the way up to like 70. So there's a wide range of bodies that I see every week and movement. Mm-hmm. And therefore, dance is just not only like what you see on TikTok.
Right.
Exactly. It is just understanding movement that it makes me feel happy.
Okay, and good.
Dance is healing. Movement is healing. And when you understand how to move the body, then you could heal your body through movement. So that's my thing.
I like that. That's actually really good. That's a really good song. Like, you know, the TikTok dances, the Renegade, and all that. Was it Beyonce one, the Megan Thee Stallion one?
Savage.
I'm a savage, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no.
I know there's the Cuffit one. You could do that one?
I could do that.
I love it too much work. I wish I could.
So, dance is healing, and I just love it so much. I love to teach. I love to see people transform. Mm-hmm. I love that somebody can message me like they did earlier this morning and say, "Hey, Megan, I just really love your class and it was down, but, you know, some way this made me feel better." And that's all. I just, like, money, nothing means nothing to me. But that message, like hearing, like, you know, everything feels better, it makes me feel good.
Mm-hmm. So, that's good. I like that. Like, it's not just, you know, I doing a job, right? I hear, you know, I used to do dances, like, dance is healing, movement is healing. It's like, you're really involved in it, in the spirit of it. And then it's like, we don't always hear, again, this is a different perspective, because we don't always hear dancers and their perspectives and their challenges and the things that they go through.
You know, injury and stuff like that is a big thing to a dance. So, yeah, hopefully one day we can get a dancer excited.
Right. I know.
I have my own podcast too, a dancer.
Right, yeah, you have By 25, right?
Yeah, By 25 podcast. But, dancers got a lot of stuff to talk about and
yeah. So you would ever do theater or anything like that?
I actually did. So as a model and a model as well, we would do a lot of casting. So you'd do a lot of plays and stuff like that, dancing. So yeah, I've been in theater before.
Wow.
Nothing new. Wow. I won't call myself a triple threat though.
Right, right.
I was a quadruple threat. It's everything.
Yeah, you have a lot under your belt again for such a young age, and then being able to, I could definitely see you creating your own studio.
For sure. That
you got
happen.
The name and everything already. You got the background. You know what you're doing.
Yeah, I done branded already.
Is that you see?
I got myself. I got me.
So it's good to see the way your mind works, especially as a young creative, and the way you have forward and you want to go forward. And it's like, I'm a creative. I've chosen this path. This is what I want to do. And this is where I see myself going.
Yeah.
And these are the actionable steps that I'm putting in place to reach that spot.
That's it.
That's really cool. And then that you still... Like, it's not singular, your journey, in that you still have a view for, like, being able to talk to other people and hear their voices and hear their stories.
It's very inspiring.
Yeah.
I love it. I love to hear other people's stories, because then you know you're not alone. Especially in the creative space, it makes you feel very...
Very lonely.
Very lonely. Yeah. So, yeah, I think this is good.
Yeah.
We got enough. We know about Luke already. And exactly. Robbie on his phone, he ain't listening to me no more.
Exactly. So.
So I think this is it. He is over us.
Yeah, I know, right?
So, guys, thank you so much for listening to us.
Thanks
Ryan
for tuning in.
About everything.
Just talk and let our hair down instead of it. You know, everybody else, so you get to hear the voice behind the show.
Yeah. So this is me, Megan. This is Luke.
Yes.
And the cultural ambassador.
Yes. We're your hosts.
We're your hosts. And I hope you continue to listen. And this comes from our hearts. And we really want you to know more about yourself if you're a Barbadian listener. If you're listening from overseas, you get to know more about our culture.
Right.
So that's welcome. Correct.
Welcome. Basody. Thank you for listening to our podcast. This episode was recorded and produced by Robbie at Nameless Productions.